Hello, and welcome back to another sweet and sour episode of The Venture Maidens. Sorry this one is a little late, folks. As Sage will let you know later, we have been swamped preparing for D&D Live and all the other projects we've got in the works. Thank you, everyone, for the community support that's gotten us here. To our Patreon donors, to everyone who has left us a rating and review. Thank you to Emily Mayo for composing our theme song, and of course, thank you to our two wonderful episode sponsors. First off, we've got the famous Elderwood Academy, crafters of fine gaming accessories. If you haven't checked out the fine dice boxes, deck boxes, dice towers, dice scrolls, and dice they make, what are you doing? Head over to their website, elderwoodacademy.com, and check out the beautiful products they make, including one of my personal favorites, the Spellbook Game Boxes, which are completely customizable wooden boxes designed to hold your dice, and it comes with a cute whiteboard. So don't wait, go check them out. Our second sponsor is a new kid on the block that we are super duper excited to have on board. That's right, it's D&D Beyond. The Maidens have become huge fans of D&D Beyond over our last few streams. They have this amazing feature that allows you to display character sheets on Twitch that our audience just loves. It's epic being able to watch Kara's health drop to single digits live as we slay foes in-game, all through the power of D&D Beyond. D&D Beyond is an unrivaled tool for creating and tracking your D&D character sheets, and we hope you consider checking them out right away. Alright, but now let me give you a quick recap of what happened last time, and we'll get right to the action. Last time on Venture Maidens, our heroes stumbled directly into Dr. Scarborough's lecture hall and had to face the wrath of the demented surgeon and his band of hungry ghouls. After a harrowing fight with some nasty syringe attacks, the Maidens, broken and bruised, managed to subdue the doctor and bring his unconscious body to Saye's mysterious new friend, a giant brain in a pool of nasty slime. And that's it. Now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our Maidens come head to head with Saye's newest ally. Will our heroes turn over the defeated doctor? What has the wayward angel been up to? Is there a peaceful end to this descent? Find out in episode 59, Mind Games.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. You guys, we're all here. It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited after what we left up on last time. And I also just wanted to say that I got a chance to see Britt this weekend while she was cruising through Seattle on her tattoo road trip. And she said that, like, 98% of the appointments she's had so far have been Venture Maidens fans. That's awesome. Which is, incredible, y'all. Y'all have come out in such a big way for her on this trip, and, like, she's gotten to meet so many of you, and she got to tell me all these amazing stories about all of you, and it was just so, so cool to hear. So thank you all so much.
Aww. That's so sweet. I'm super jealous of her getting to, like, meet everyone, and, like also kind of chill, you know, doing something personal with you guys. That's pretty rad. And the fact that Celeste also got to hang out with her. I'm jealous. I'm just jealous of everyone right now.
And you're all just great. You make me cry, and it's amazing.
Oh, man. It's true. I cry on a daily basis because of all of your beautiful faces.
Because you're all so freaking precious. Okay. I guess let's go ahead and let's get this kicked off. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. My name is Celeste Konowich, and I will be your dungeon master.
Hello, I am Nassim Etmad, your human monk, Cyanur, and I've got one inspiration point waiting to be used. At me, brain.
It will, maybe. I don't know.
Ooh. And I'm Sage, and I play Kara Brynhilda, the dwarven barbarian.
And I'm Katie, and I play Farrah Valend, the tiefling sorcerer.
Yay! And so last time we had a pretty big old battle. So that is what happened last time. We had this big fight with Dr. Scarborough, who is clearly the person who
well, had something to do with orchestrating all of the atrocities that you've seen so far in this place. So after a long fight and fighting off all of his ghoul cronies as well, you managed to bring him down. And like this strange voice in Sawyer's head had requested, you had brought this body and you needed to rush it too, because something had told you that this ghoul lord wasn't going to be down forever, so you had a limited amount of time. So you had rushed with the body, and Saya, you had known exactly where to go, and you had turned down a few different corridors and passageways and come to a room that you, first off, you had seen, like, the green glow had caught your attention looking around this room, and you'd seen that there are just tanks everywhere that are full of different, like, organic things floating around the room. But what had really caught your attention is that in the center of the floor, there had been this very, very large pool filled with this green liquid. And inside of that had been a large, purplish, like, bruised brain. And you had all heard, as you stepped into the room, this very calm and quiet voice that sounds almost melodious, psychically speak to you in all of your minds. And it had said, "Oh, thank goodness you've arrived. Quickly, lower him into the pool."
It still feels totally normal for me to be like, "Yeah, of course."
Yeah. So Sawyer, you're like, "Yeah, of course. Like, this is my friend that's been helping me out."
Okay.
The whole time.
I take him over to the pool. Just for my brain, what is the, like, scale of this pool and this brain?
Yeah, so the brain itself is a large-sized creature. So imagine about the size of a horse. So we're dealing with, like, a pool that's probably the size of, like, what you would find in, like, a backyard in California.
Okay.
That's full of... That's horrifying. Yeah, that's full of, again, this green liquid. And you all can smell, again, this formaldehyde and something, like, it smells, again, like salt water comes to your nose.
All right. We are not doing that.
No. I don't know what's going on with you, but that is not a good idea.
And you all hear again, "Please, quickly. We do not have much time before he recovers."
Yeah, what do you mean, you guys? I'm putting him in. I gotta do this now.
Why? No, she's still moving.
She's still moving.
I'm gonna go to, like, grab her hand to stop her. Wait. We should know why we're doing this first.
because he needs to go into the pool.
No, brain thing. Why do you need this body? What is it for? Kara addresses, like, tries to address it, but isn't sure how.
Yeah, it doesn't have eyes or anything on it, so you just kind of generally speak.
I'm just like, eh.
And you hear a pause in your mind. And then the brain says to you, "This creature has tormented me for years and years. I wish to exact my revenge upon it."
Whoa! Are you the guy that we saw in the vision who was tied to the chair? And, oh wait, no. That guy didn't have a head that big. Wait. What are you?
I carry many names, none of which are pronounceable by your kind.
All right, well, I can't hold him forever, and I'm putting him into the pool.
No!
No, I want to stop her!
No.
Okay, do you want to make an opposed grapple to try and stop Saya from moving towards the pool?
Sure do.
I would like to aid to give advantage.
Leave me alone.
So, struggling with this, like, unconscious body flapping about in between all of you.
My God, this is the worst. 29.
Oh, okay.
So, and Saya, you can use either athletics or acrobatics to try and combat this.
Okay. Actually 21. Wasn't going to happen anyway.
So what does it look like as Kara and Farah? What are you doing to stop Saya?
Yeah, so Kara had initially grabbed Saya's wrist to, like, kind of stop her from walking over to the pool.
And Farah is just, like, takes her staff and just, like, jams it in front of her. And she's like, whoa. This is a democracy here. We haven't voted.
And the pool speaks to all of you again and says, "Please do not punish your friend Saye for her actions. She, out of the kindness within her, is assisting me. She was the only one I could call to for help."
Well, that's one of the reasons why we love Saye. It's also a thing that we're dealing with that sometimes she's too nice. And this might be, one of those situations where she's being too nice.
And you see now, as this brain is speaking to you, it glows slightly. Like, in the middle of the tank, every time it issues, like, the psychic voice towards you. Uh-huh. Please, I would be happy to answer any questions you might have to clear up your reservations.
How are you gonna take vengeance on an already, like, dead body? I mean, he's pretty close to dead. I bit his throat out.
She did, I saw it.
It is undead. The doctor will not truly die. It will repair itself in time. We have played this game for hundreds of years. If you allow me to take him, I can finally end his miserable existence.
I am pro that. This guy was a dick. That is true.
Indeed.
Saya wants to, like, appeal to Kara's ego and be like, you already killed this guy once. There's no way that you couldn't take him and this guy, even if they teamed up together, so.
That is a true story. And she, like, looks off to the side. We'll like, be fine. Like, she's way. Imagining, like, the battle that would ensue. Mm-hmm. And what she would do first, and she's just kind of, like, lost in thought.
Well, Amalfia said that you were suffering down here, and she was trying to help you. Is this going to end your suffering? How is this going to help you just by killing this one creature? Does he have some kind of hold on you?
Is this the angel we were supposed to find? Last I checked, angels did not look like this.
I am unaware of this Amalfia that you speak of.
Oh.
But I would take a great deal of personal pleasure in ending the existence of this miserable thing. It has trapped me here and separated me from my kind for far too long. And as you're looking, like, kind of around the room and getting your bearings more, you actually see that there are a few different, like, tubes and apparati that are, like, dipped into the pool here. And you can see that there are all these, like, slow, like, the green is being funneled out into these large, like, glass tanks and canisters and actually being piped through a bunch more of these tubes that line the room along. So there's some kind of device that's, like, seeping whatever this creature is in. And funneling it away into other storage in this room.
Wait, but how are you going to extract your revenge? You're like a brain. You don't have any arms. And then she immediately looks to try and see if there are arms.
There are definitely not any arms. And it says to you, my power has been greatly diminished, but if I come in contact with it, there is much I can do.
This thing's undead, and either way, it's gonna come back if we don't do it. I know I've done some brash things in the past, but if this happens again, I will never make a solo decision in the future, and you can point out this moment to stop me from doing it, okay? But she's crossing her fingers and her toes.
Of course she is. God, I just don't know.
Can I roll again to try and push it into the pool? Because
yeah, I mean, you can go ahead and definitely try to make a grapple. If anybody wants to make a check too to see if they know what this is,
oh,
you can also try and do that.
Oh God, where's Arnadel when you need her?
I'll try to make one.
Is it like Arcana check or what is it?
Like a nature check or an Arcana.
6.
No, 14 plus 4, so 26.
Okay. Oh, 26, yeah.
So, Saya, you had never heard of what this was, but you know it's a highly intelligent, very kind creature that is so grateful to you for helping it in its time of need. And then, Farah, you have heard of these things, but you've never seen one. Very few people have ever actually seen one. This is something called an elder brain. And what this thing is there are creatures called mind flayers. Those are the tentacle-faced, brain-eating creatures that we have encountered a few times in Venture Maidens. And essentially, they are like a hive mind community that they all live to serve an elder brain. The elder brain is sort of like a central computer of sorts that allows all of the mind flayers in a particular colony to tap into each other and share thoughts and knowledge. So this is an extremely powerful creature. You can't even fathom what it's possibly doing down here. But you also know that is, I mean, it's meant to run a colony. So if there aren't other mind flayers around it, I mean, this thing may not be getting appropriate nutrition or like anything. So whatever, the fact that it's down here away from a colony clearly diminishes its power.
I will relay all of this to them. And I will be like, Saya, you need to know people before you agree to help them. I don't even know you.
I want to slap the body out of her hands, and she says, fucking nope, we have faced too many of those goddamn tentacle bastards. I will kill it right now. I will kill everything in this fucking place if I have to, and we're gonna burn it down, and we'll buy Amalthea a new house, cause fuck this shit.
Please don't. I am quite helpless in my current state.
Oh, fuck no. You. You know that's a fucking lie.
I say we fight it. My staff starts glowing.
How far is it in, like, how, like, what is the distance between, like, me to it in the pool?
Sure. So let's say...
If one were to try and reach out and strike it, asking for a friend.
Yeah, let's say the pool itself is about 30 feet deep, and it's floating sort of in the middle here, so maybe there's about 5 feet down of liquid before the brain itself. So yeah, it's like a 20 by 20 foot pool, mm-hmm. 30 feet deep. It's floating in the middle. It's a large creature, so it's about, you know, 12 by 12-ish, roughly. So you definitely have to get your feetsies wet.
And weird green liquid.
Does that grass, that glass look crackable?
I can't believe you guys are just judging him for who he is. He could still be a good brain deep down.
I am a good brain.
There's no such thing.
Insight check the brain.
You can. Please roll at disadvantage, though, since you have no facial indicators or anything.
Great. That's 16.
Oh, not bad.
I mean, the brain seems pretty earnest in its intentions from what you can tell, and it's kept very even, measured, patient tones with you.
I think, based on what Farrah just said, this thing wants, and she points to the ghoul, Dr. Ghoul Lord, because then it can take it over, and then it's gonna wreak havoc in this fucking place.
Kara, smack it, I'm done here.
Don't have to tell me twice.
All right, Saya, what's the move? Are you going to try and pull a grapple to get that body in there? Or Kara looks just at that. So what's...
Well, Kara's my friend, so I'm going to just let her do the thing. I tried as much as I could, but Kara is my friend, so I'll let her do it. I trust her more. I just say, all right, I tried, brain, but I'm not taking a part.
You all hear...
Oh, that makes me happy.
Just a deep, deep sigh.
The power of friendship.
You also notice, actually, all of you give me perception checks as well.
7.
Natural 20.
Nice. Modified 20.
Okay, so both Saya and Farrah, you notice this. Dr. Scarborough begins to stir.
I'm gonna...
He's twitching, and you can see the threads of, like, his shriveled neck have begun to knit themselves back together.
I cast Firebolt on him.
Yeah, no!
I said stop it!
Okay, yeah, you do so, and yeah, he jerks, and so Kara, what are you doing exactly?
Problem is that I'm out of rage, and also, I have to get in the pool, and I wonder how much I care. How much Kara cares.
Yeah, so the brain, again, is just, it's emitting this, like, deep sadness towards all of you as this is happening. So you firebolt Dr. Scarborough, and yeah, the ghoul stops, you know, his natural repairing process has slowed for the time being. Yeah,
I'll keep an eye out on the doctor. I'll just, like, keep my dagger out and ready.
What's the game plan here?
Kara is going to, she's gonna take her sword and she's gonna stick it into the liquid first to see what happens to the sword before she jumps in that pool.
Okay. All right. You stick your sword in, and it is wet.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, all right. She's gonna stick, like, her pinky finger in there.
Okay. Go ahead and make me an intelligence saving throw, please.
Oh, no.
Gladly. I'm gonna use my gift of the past to reroll that.
Sure.
That's a 7.
Okay. So, all of a sudden, you know, the room is filled with this green kind of ambient light. And, you know, Farrah, you just firebolted the doctor. And Saya, your eyes are on there. Okay, so, you know, your attention is occupied by this situation here. And then suddenly there is this bright purple flash that emits as the brain becomes fully lit up by what seems like this electric pulse of some kind here. And just a blast of psychic energy goes out of the room here. So I'm actually going to need Saya and Farrah to also go ahead and make me an intelligence saving throw as this happens.
Damn it, Kara.
Since you are within 60 feet of the pool.
I got a 7?
A dirty 20.
All right, 20 will do it. Okay, so Kara and Farrah definitely fail. You all are going to take 32 points of psychic damage.
Ooh.
And you are going to be stunned for 1 minute as your brain feels like it's exploding from the inside. So Kara, you are helpless as you fall forward, stunned, into this pool. And you feel like the water begins to cling to you. So there's something, it's a very heavy saline solution. So it's like that feeling of like just the wetness sliding over you as you fall deeper and deeper into this pool, and you can't hear anything anymore. And you just see in your stunned vision this brain pulsing with this purple light in front of you. And just your head is filled with just explosions of color and sound. And Farrah and Kara, go ahead and make me a sanity check, please.
Oh my god, I'm gonna drown. I'm stunned. I can't swim.
You only put your pinky in there.
Yeah, but since Kara was like forward with the pinky and got stunned, just boop, fell into the pool.
I got a 16. I don't remember what the save was.
Farrah, you are fine.
Da, 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 da. 14.
Kara, tell me how you lose a point of sanity. What's happening?
Oh my god, so.
They go down to 1, right?
Yes. So she sticks her pinky in, and this just, like, wave, like I mentioned, like, the slow motion, like, poof, yeah, like, boom. Almost like EMP pulse, yeah. Like, of magic bursts out through the room, and then it hits her, and yeah, there's just, like, this phantasmagoria of lights and colors and sounds, and, like, it's, like, the past 3 seconds, like, rewind and keep playing over and over and over again. As she's kind of, like, stuck in this, like, little loop, and is just thinking, oh my fucking god. And the feeling of, like, being trapped inside of her body and not able to move just makes her fucking lose it.
Yep. And Saya, you are going to take half damage, so go ahead and take 16 psychic damage. But you see Farrah just, like, goes again slack-jawed, like what just happened, like, in that fight with Dr. Scarborough again, as the mind gets wrecked. So, Saya, you are the only one capable of movement. You do have the doctor here, but this thing now has taken hostile action, if you want to interpret it that way, or defensive action. So, Saya, what would you like to do?
I want to grab Kara out of the water.
Alright, let's go ahead and roll initiative here, everybody. Since you pissed off the Elderburn...
16.
Good.
I've rolled 3 16s in a row. It's dirty 20, please.
Okay, Saya, dirty 20, and Kara, that was a 15?
Yes.
And Farrah?
16.
Boop, boop, and roll for my brain! I had the page casually open to Elderbrew, and I'm like, they're not gonna fight it.
Here we are.
Little did you know, Celeste.
Little did I know, they were out for blood this day. Okay, sweet. And so Saye, yeah. So if you want to go ahead and try and grab Kara out of the pool, Kara, yep, is very slowly sinking. So go ahead and make me an athletics or, yeah, something to try and pull her out of this pool.
Athletics, I guess. 21.
Okay, sweet. So I'm going to say, yeah, you can definitely spend your action because Kara, like, just fell in there. So with your lightning speed, you get over there and you begin to drag Kara out of the pool. And Kara is just complete dead weight, but luckily hadn't sunk too far down. So you manage to pull Kara out and, like, are dragging her back up onto the stone of the rest of this room. All right. And then, Farrah, you can go ahead and try to make that save again. So it's an intelligence saving throw.
21.
Okay, you wake back up. So you take it takes your turn, but you are now in control of your faculties again, as, again, those exploding fireworks in your mind. It feels like you had a sudden migraine that just lasted for, like, 6 seconds. So all the intensity of that just... and then it just... it blinks away. And your mind is your own once again. And then, Kara, you can go ahead and try and repeat that save for me.
Ooh, nice. That's 21.
Damn, Friends. Y'all! Okay, yep, you back!
Yes!
A little bit worse for wear, but down to one sanity point, but you back! Okay, and then, ooh, and then it's my brain!
Kara, I really don't think we should be fighting this thing. Let's just drop the guy in the pool and run away.
Yeah, as Kara comes to her senses, she calls out, she's like, alright, Saye, you got this one.
Thank you.
But the brain now, it got to taste some tasty bits. It hungry. So you see that this black writhing thing appears, like, from in between the hemispheres of this brain, as you see a tentacle whips out of the top of this thing, and lashes out towards you, Kara, trying to grab onto, like, your leg and trying to pull you back into the pool here.
Come at me, bro.
It's gonna try. Oh, 26, honey. Okay. That is a lot of damage. Alright. That is going to be 20 bludgeoning damage. And you are grappled by the tentacle. Whoa. I can have up to 4 targets grappled at a time. Cool.
Wow.
Cool. Okay. So you are now grappled by this tentacle. So just as Saye, like, pulled you out here, again, you just get slammed with this thing and it's wrapped around and it's definitely trying to pull you back into the pool at this point. And then Saye.
So Sage is just, our car's on the way to the pool?
Yeah, so basically you ran to the edge and you pulled Kara out of the pool and Kara was, like, you know, on the edge of the pool here, like, coming back to her senses, and now her leg has been wrapped up in this tentacle and she's being dragged back into the pool. Like, okay. Horror movie style, being dragged away by a demon
into
the darkness.
Well, then we're going to tug of war for a second because okay. I am still holding on.
Yep. Make a grapple. Be my elder brain.
I need a 16.
Okay. I got a 22. So, Kara, you pull with all your might, but this thing is way too strong, and Kara is headed right for that.
Okay. Hold on. I'll throw him in the pool. Just let her go.
And the brain says, do it, and I'll believe you, and continues pulling Kara into the pool. So, you do have an extra attack. A grapple counts as an attack, since you have 2. So, if you would like to use it to do that, or do you want to move, or...
Yeah, I want to get the body and start dragging it towards the pool.
Okay, yeah, you can definitely do so. So you run back over, you get this guy, and you're pulling back in. I'm going to say on your turn, you can definitely toss him into the pool.
Okay.
Okay, and then Farrah.
Okay, I'm a little bit more concerned about Kara. So I'm going to use a sorcery point to distance spell, third level cure wounds.
Yay, thank you.
Man, healer life.
12, 16, plus 5, 21.
All right, and then Kara, you are being dragged back into the pool, so your nails are, like, scraping on the edge of this stone here, but you feel yourself being plummeted backwards.
Oh yeah, she's still got her sword in her hand, and so she's going to follow her first impulse, which is to stab it.
Sure, yeah, you can definitely try and slash at the tentacle that's holding you.
Nice, that's a 17.
Yeah, it's real squishy, so you definitely hit it. Giant brain, not so great with AC.
Well, weird. Does have a big pool around him.
All right, and that's going to be 11 damage.
Okay, yeah, so you chop at this tentacle that's holding you, and it's, like, it's really thick and rubbery. You wouldn't have expected a tentacle that crawled out of a brain to be so intense. But yeah, you make a good chop at this thing, and it definitely, like, recoils in pain.
Oh, yes, and that'll be a 23 to hit on the second one.
Yes.
And, oh, wow, max damage. That'll be, so that's 14, 20 damage.
I'm going to say you can totally chop this tentacle off if you want to.
Perfect.
What that look like?
Yeah, so she's like, as she's being pulled in, she first has her sword, like, pointed straight at the thing and then sees what's got her leg. And she whips it around and just goes one, two quick strikes right through it.
Yeah, and as you do so, like, you feel that tension release from you suddenly as this thing is, like, it's still attached to your leg, so it's wriggling around, cutting off, like, a squid leg or something. It's still moving. And then the hurt stub retreats very quickly back into the pool.
But then she's gonna scoot back away from the edge.
All right, and at this point, the brain says, I do not wish for this to continue. Throw the body in, and I will let you go. So it is holding its action.
Yeah. So it's my turn next, right?
It feels so wrong.
Yep, Josiah.
Yeah, so, like, yep, right there, and I chuck him in.
As you do so, you throw the doctor's body into the pool. There's, like, this still moment. You just hear that little bloop sound as the body, like, goes and then begins to sink further and further to the bottom of this pool. And you see that three more tentacles sprout out of the top of this brain, and the injured one is kind of, like, hanging off on the side there, and they wrap around the doctor, and you see it gets pulled closer and closer and, like, deeper into the brain itself as you see just the face of the doctor disappear within the two hemispheres of the brain. And
this is so bad.
You hear a totally alien sound of pure ecstasy as this happens. And it is very alarming. But the brain goes quiet.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
And Saya, you feel suddenly like a clearness move from your head. And you feel no further impulse to do anything for this brain.
Okay.
It has released you.
Cool. I was being puppeted.
You don't feel terrible about it. It wasn't like a dominate spell or anything. It was just, I don't know, it was very weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. She was just kind of like, I guess I fulfilled some task, like it was on my to-do list and it's done now, so whatever. but there's a moment where she's like frozen, she's holding her breath to see what happens next. Mm-hmm. But if it's like a beat or two of silence, she's gonna go to help Kara stand up so we can leave.
Yeah, there's definitely silence. The brain does not seem to be interested in the rest of you anymore.
Yeah, as you help Kara up, she's just like, thank you for saving me.
No worries. You handled your own very well. Let's just get out.
Let's get out of here. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And as you do so, you can definitely leave behind this room and close the doors behind you. And the green glow stops from the other side and you leave the Elder Brain to whatever its plans are. And you find yourself, you are in complete darkness now. You could pull out, you know, your drift globe and everything, but you are back in that long hallway that you traversed before. And Saye, you realize you led yourself down here, but you have no recollection of how you would get back from this point.
Oh, man.
And now you see that there is this very, very, very long hallway stretching out in front of you that has all of these doors leading off of it. And what I described last time was that these walls are completely covered in scratching of in a bunch of different languages of people's basically cries for help, like letters to loved ones, just these messages of pain and sadness. And there's this long hallway with many doors stretching out in front of you.
Okay. Should we have bothered? I mean, I didn't want to, but should we have bothered to ask Mr. Brain if he knew anything about the angel?
I think he was busy.
True.
All right. Yeah.
We made the right move. I agree.
I don't know. I feel like maybe one day I'll come back for this. This doesn't feel good to me.
Definitely. I would really think it would be a very smart idea if we go back up through the catacombs and ask Amalthea to take a nap, because I feel fucking awful.
Yeah, well, we're all gonna relax and recuperate after this, but we're deep in it now, and let's just get it done.
If we've got to fight anything else, I'm going to be garbage. I will tell you that. We're underneath the house.
You're very deep underneath the house now. You went down a few flights of stairs to come down here. You're not 100% sure you could get back up, quite honestly, at this point.
Well, I'm going to heal myself while we think on this.
Well, then how are we going to get out after we find the angel if we can't remember our way back now?
You can go ahead and try and make intelligence checks to try and get back out of here.
Oh, hell yeah, that's a 21.
I got a 14.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. You are pretty sure you could navigate back to the surgery room. You're pretty sure.
Yeah, like, meta talk, I have no rage left. I have 50 hit points. Like, I don't get my rages back at a short rest. If we have to fight shit, it's not gonna be great.
Yeah, there are a bunch of these little rooms kind of off to the side here that look like maybe there are cells or bedrooms or something. I mean, it is possible to try and take a rest here.
Do we want to keep watch and then others can sleep?
We could all take 3-hour shifts.
Have the Venture Maidens ever taken a long rest on camera?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. This is crazy.
All of our long rests have gotten interrupted by doing shit. By mysterious birds who are like, wake up, assholes! Oh, and then the one other...
I do love my mysterious birds.
The one time that we took a short rest was when we ended up in the Sisters of Sorrow castle. We went to sleep. Aaron drugged us. We woke up in this pocket dimension of the fuckwad plane. And so that's why we don't take short long rests, Celeste. It's because we end up in different timelines.
I'm sorry. I'm so cruel. Oh, that's the best. Hey, asshole! Wake up! Oh, God. Okay. I want that to be my alarm noise.
I'll record that for you.
Thank you.
Sleep when you're dead.
Oh, God. Okay. So if you do investigate these little rooms off to the side, you do see that they are like individual little bedrooms or cells. They're all simple, filled with just like kind of broken furniture. They smell a little bit moldy, but otherwise seem empty.
Oh, man. All right. Great.
I'll take the first watch because I'm doing fine. I could all chill. Right. Yeah.
All right, sweet. And who's taking second watch?
I'll take second watch.
Okay, I'll go third.
All right, sweet. So you set up a little campies in the middle of this one of these cells. Are you doing anything in particular to guard the area, or where are you watching from? What's the plan?
I'm just going to lean up against a wall that faces whatever door there is.
All right, so Saye, since your first watch, go ahead and make me a perception check.
Percepting.
Mm-hmm.
I've percepted poorly because I was a 10.
Okay. All right. So you get a couple hours into your watch, and then you begin to hear footsteps from outside. They seem to just be pacing back and forth outside the door.
Directly outside the door?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Okay. Can I listen more or...
Yeah, you can go ahead and try and... What are you doing? Are you, like, creeping up to the door to listen?
Yeah, I'm gonna sneak up to the door and just... Actually, no, I'm gonna creep down to the floorboard and try and see under the gap between the door and the floor. See if I see feet. Because I know this place is ghosty, so...
Go ahead and make me a stealth check as you do so.
19.
Okay, so you go ahead and you creep up very, very slowly, like, down... towards, you know, and you lay down on the floor and look underneath, and again you're hearing that, just the pacing back and forth, and as you look outside the door you don't see anything, but the footsteps continue back and forth
Okay
across the floor.
I am going to... Is there furniture, like a chair or something I could wedge under it?
Yeah, definitely.
Under the door handle? Yeah, I'm going to do that.
You go ahead and you do so. And as you make noise, like scraping and doing this and put the door up, the footsteps stop.
It's good enough for me.
And the rest of your watch passes uneventfully.
All right. Kara, wake up, asshole.
You do not feel great. It was spooky. All right, Kara.
Perception.
Yes.
11.
Okay. Your watch passes uneventfully. Farah, go ahead and give me a perception check.
I also got an 11.
In the middle of your watch, sometime maybe an hour or so in, you hear a high-pitched scream.
Ooh.
Coming from the room the Elder Brain was in.
Oh, fuck me.
Just a single scream that pierces the silence and, like, totally scares the bejesus out of you. But that is all you hear over the course of your watch.
Oh, great.
Take a break from the psycho dungeon for a minute and hear about the amazing things that the maidens are doing. If you watch us live, then you must know that we will not be doing our usual stream on the 15th because the maidens are having Venture LA Part 2! That's right, we are all traveling down to Los Angeles to take part of an amazing opportunity to be on the Wizards of the Coast D&D live stream. We'll be streaming on Saturday the 18th at 3 p.m. West Coast time. So follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Venture Maidens, and you will be caught up on all of our silly shenanigans and see where to find us. But alright, in order to get back into this dark and terrifying mood of this horrid catacomb, let me tell you about the new Empire of Ghouls. It is a 5th edition campaign from Cobalt Press for characters level 1 through 14. In this adventure, you will take your heroes deep into the realms of the undead. You will get to explore a kingdom of terror and blood ruled by vampires, and far below the earth in the Underdark is a mighty empire of ghouls. This Mathed 5th edition campaign will include new Underdark lore, as well as tons of undead monsters, magic, and more, with both an adventure book and a player's guide. You all wouldn't believe how amazing this Kickstarter is doing. It's blown past, like, 10 stretch goals, and who doesn't want to be a part of that? So go to cobaltpress.com/kickstarters to find out more about this Kickstarter for the Empire of Ghouls. Seriously, I'm a backer, you should be one too. Everyone at the Maidens loves Cobalt Press. But alright, I'm starting to feel the darkness creep back in again. Let's see what our Maidens come up with when they put their brains together. Get it? It was a joke? Alright, no, but seriously, let's get back to it.
All of you, as you sleep, you have strange dreams, strange dark dreams full of whispers and paranoid voices. You can't shake that feeling that somebody is watching you. And so you all wake up, you know, kind of cramped from the cold, that smell of mold, and this just dark feeling in your hearts. But you got a long rest. Congratulations.
Great. I
get your stuff back.
Immediately cast mage armor on myself.
Fair?
Long rest. Yay, long rest button. I love it.
Yay, D&D Beyond. You're so cool. Wow, y'all are hurting pretty bad. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. I saw when she wakes up in the morning, she realizes, or whatever time of day it is.
Yeah, you have no idea. You're so far underground.
Yeah, that it was stupid to put a chair by the door for a ghost.
It made you feel better, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
I
didn't want it to fling open in the middle of the night, but she still is just kind of like, wait, what? What was I thinking?
It made you feel better, though.
Yeah,
it's that's fine. All that matters.
I woke up alive, so I feel fine. Right.
It's like after you watch a really scary movie and you're trying to go to sleep and you're like, no, it's fine. I just won't look under the bed and it'll be fine. But you're like, no, but Jason could get you anyway, so what? Like, whatever.
Farrah's just kind of like, just sitting there, like, nervously, just staring at you guys, waiting for you to wake up. And she's like, hey, morning. So there was, like, a scream kind of coming from the brain room. Once again, not feeling good about that. Just wanted to share that with the party.
Yeah, I don't feel great about that either. In fact, I don't feel that great in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel one sanity great.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to have one sanity, Kara?
She just has this kind of perpetual thousand yard stare. And even when she's looking at you, she's like, it's like she's looking beyond you. And her, like, she's got these big dark rings like under her eyes. She looks like shit. She looks like kind of like almost like a greenish grayish pale.
Yeah. 20% sanity. Okay, sweet. Why don't you all discuss your plan while I get more wine?
Great.
Okay.
I pass out jerky as we discuss.
Excellent. Oh, I could go for jerky right now. All right, well, we still gotta find Angel Dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping.
A hallway of doors.
Yeah.
That we'd found him by now. Even thought maybe it's his brain. But here we are. Oh, I don't know. I mean, do we want to venture forward? Should we check on the brain?
Ooh, I think we've closed that chapter. We don't need to remind him that we're still here or even this close. Let's just get this done with.
Okay.
Say, Kara is like, she's looking a little hurt. We need to...
What? And she just slowly turns her head to look at you.
Any more distractions, I think we should not jump into.
Sure. Right. Well, I guess we just venture further in looking for signs of angels. All I've seen is that one marking in Celestial when we first got here. That's the only thing that's given me any indication.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Were there any other ways back that we missed? Because we came through this way to help the brain so quickly. I mean, do we want to go back and see if we see any other signs? Because we weren't really looking.
No, yeah, we were just kind of following. There's also so many doors where we are right now.
Oh, God. I hate doors.
Me too, they're the fucking worst.
Remember that one time, Sawyer, when they were mimics? That was bad. That place was shit, too.
Mm-hmm. But now we know not to...
Coming soon to a module on DM's Guild. Anyway...
So Kara's just gonna start opening doors around her.
Yeah, so basically when you came down here, you went from the surgery or the that room where you fought the doctor, and you went down a couple sets of stairs, so there were some right and lefts you could have taken. So you basically, you took a left, you took a right, you took a left, and you went down a hallway, and there you go, and boom. So there are a lot of different ways to go. As you are looking, opening doors down this hallway in particular, they all seem to be cells or rooms. You see that a lot of them do have heavy padlocks on them that since have been broken off. It looks like by force, most of them. So a lot of broken down doors. All the furniture is smashed. It looks like there are signs of struggles everywhere.
Sorry, is there a door at the end of this hallway?
Yes, so there is a door at the end of this hallway, and then there's also a set of steps that would lead further up.
Oh, interesting.
That you came down to get into this hallway.
Oh, okay, got it. Right. Got it. Yeah. Okay. Well, Kara motions to the door that's allegedly out from this hallway and says, well, shall we?
Why not? Let's go.
Open it up.
Okay, it is locked.
God damn it! And she, like, furiously jiggles the door.
It is definitely locked.
She takes out her axe and begins hacking through the door.
Okay, let's see. So it has an arcane lock, but the wood is also really shitty and rotted. So go ahead and make me an athletics.
Guidance.
Yeah.
The lock is only as good as the door.
Plus three.
Okay.
So that'll be 25 altogether.
Okay. Sorry, what were you going to say?
While they're hacking the door, I'm not going to open any other doors. I just kind of want to jiggle the handles on a couple near us and see which ones are unlocked.
Yeah, so all of these long cell rows are unlocked. It's actually odd. This is the first locked door you found?
Yeah.
At all?
That is odd.
Yep, so you can definitely easily destroy the door just with a few swings of your sword, like, or kicking at the hinges. This thing goes yeah, flying exactly. off here. And the room that you see in front of you is sort of a square room. It smells awful. It smells the same as, like, the ghouls did, this very, like, formaldehyde-y, rotting smell. But as you look around this room, unlike all the other rooms, the furniture is intact. It actually looks relatively well-maintained. You see that there's a large desk in the center of this room. There are bookshelves lining the walls. There appear to be, like, filing cabinets. And then there is a barrel in one corner of the room that has... That seems most of the smell is coming out of that barrel.
Oh, God. I'm having flashbacks to Strahd. the fucking windmill. All right.
I'll use Mage Hand to try to open the filing cabinet.
Yeah, and they do. They do open, and you see that there are a bunch of papers that have been neatly filed. Rolled scrolls, parchments. Somebody has kept meticulous notes in this room.
I look through. See if anything yeah. stands out.
Sure. Go ahead and give me an general investigation.
Good, because that's five. Wow, that's a one. And then you said investigation?
Yes.
Okay, so that's going to be 10.
Okay. So looking around the room, you know, you're just doing a very cursory glance. You see that there are, yeah, again, meticulous notes, files. You find journals. This appears to be Dr. Scarborough's personal office. So you see a wide variety of subjects. You see that each one of these files has a first and last name labeled on it, and then assigned a serial number, and they all seem to be patient case files. So just flipping through here, you're like, this elven woman admitted for hysteria, admitted for triskaidekaphobia, admitted for, you know. So these notes going on of just all of these different, like, psychological conditions, so that's what you find in one file cabinet. You find a couple journals that are detailing, like, ongoing experiments. You find, like, a treatise about the invention of the therapy crystals. You find a treatise on the effects of Elder Brain Serum, is a book that you find. So this is just, like, all kinds of, that's just with a 10 kind of scooping around the room what you're getting here.
Oh, Sage is so interested. Kara is so not.
Yeah.
Saya isn't interested, but she knows and makes her think about Arnadel, and she has, like, a moment of, like, oh, she'd really freak out about this room, and she wants to, like, pick a book as a souvenir to bring back to the Sisters of Sorrow for Arnie.
Yeah.
Here's what you missed while you were out fighting demon lords. Oh,
damn.
We were out hunting an angel, and I saw this thing, and it was just perfect for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is also the desk in this room, and then the very smelly barrel, if you would like to.
All right, I'll bite. Let's go check out the smelly barrel.
You got this, Kara. Right.
As you take the top off of this barrel, the smell of just rotting flesh overwhelms you immediately, and some, like, flies also come out of this barrel. There's just a pile of, like, different limbs. That have been kept in here. A lot of them have bite marks taken out of them.
God cool. damn it, kill it with fire. And she slams the lid back
yeah,
on.
Yeah, actually make me a constitution saving throw. Just, it's real bad.
It rank. That'll be 16.
Okay, you manage not to puke immediately.
Yeah, she goes, is there anything else in here that we should look at? You said there is a desk, right? Mm-hmm. She's gonna go rifle through the desk drawers.
All right, make me an investigation.
God, what is that? That's garbage. That's what that is. She's still trying not to puke. Yeah. That is a 6.
Okay. Yeah, you're pulling through. One of the bottom drawers is locked. But other than that, like, you're just finding quill pens and fresh parchment and...
I don't know if any of you want to look through this, but it doesn't seem like anything fantastic.
I'm coming. She just, like, puts down, like, her file with a big thump and, like, walks over and she's like, all right, I'll roll investigation. Okay, that's way better. 4 is 23.
Oh, nice.
Damn. Okay. So yeah, you're looking around and you take a look at this locked drawer, and you can find, like, you're looking under the desk and you feel that there is a key that has been left on the, like, inside on the bottom there. You find.
I pull it out and I'm like, ah, I'm like holding it above my head.
Yeah, na na na. Would you like to unlock the drawer?
Of course.
Okay.
There are brains inside.
It's a theme. So as you open up this drawer, you find that there is a long wooden case inside that has a gold clasp on it.
Okay. Can I check this for, like, any sort of, like, arcane trap or anything like this? It seems sure. Important.
Yeah, make me an arcana.
I'm good at those. That's 11 plus 8, so 19.
There does not appear to be any kind of arcane runes or, you know, things that would red flag for you. I open it. Okay. Inside, you see that on one side, there's a very long row of empty test tube syringes. You also see that there is a very strange apparatus. Like, it looks like a sort of a funnel and pump thing going on the other side. And then you see that there are very small vials filled with different colored liquids.
Does this look like fillings for the thing he was using when he was fighting us?
For the syringe gun, yeah. So this is, these are tools to fill the gun. And basically, the way this is gonna work is y'all can pick spells that it has charged with it. So you'll be able to pick 1 or 2 fourth level spells, 2 third level spells, and 3 first level spells that you find in here.
Whoa.
Any
spells? You guys, spells. We should definitely put healing so we can shoot healing into people.
Oh my god, it'd be like Anna in Overwatch and shoot healing darts at people.
So essentially, to create a serum, it will take a long rest to do so. You have to brew the serum and do whatever. But we can go ahead and say if you guys want, you can pick like 3 that are all ready to go right now. So let's call it 1 third level, 1 second level, 1 first level. What do you find in the box?
Oh, God.
Any
Pass
spell?
Pass without trace.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Detect traps. Ice or knock would be a good one.
No,
what level is that?
How do you inject knock?
You just shove the needle inside of the keyhole.
You shoot the door, obviously.
Invisibility, I believe, is a second level spell, or maybe third level.
This is hard.
Yeah, if you want, you all can get back to me too on that.
Okay.
So now you have means to employ this gun.
Cool.
Neat. Cool.
Yeah. So that's everything that you find in here. And then the only other ways to go were back up those stairs, which would lead you to a hallway that goes to the left and goes to the right. And then there are another set of stairs leading back up.
All right. Back up the stairs then.
Yep. So at this point, you could turn left down a hallway or right down a hallway. And again, all of these hallways are filled with these messages. And you see that both of them continue for quite a ways and then disappear off into a turn.
Left?
Sure. Why not?
Sure.
I do want to, like, be looking around. And because when we first came in, there was, like, celestial writing on the wall. I want to be, like, checking for things like that as we go that might indicate a good direction for us.
Love it. Go ahead and, make me either perception or investigation, whatever you feel like you would be.
All right. So 16.
Okay, so you continue down the left for a bit, and as you're kind of scanning the walls, and again, these messages are just these heartbreaking, just stories going on here, you do begin to see symbols that start to stand out to you as being different than anything else. You see, like, in one corner, there's, like, a carved sun with what appears to be, like, clouds And it's just like a really odd thing to see in the middle of all of these like distressing messages. And you do begin to see those like traveling down this left hallway.
Well, that sounds like a sign. I think we're getting closer.
Promising. Okay.
Yeah. And as you round this corner down this hallway, the room suddenly opens up to a lot larger. All of you go ahead and give me a perception check.
Nice. 19 plus some stuff.
5.
25.
Dirty 20.
Okay. So Saya and Kara, you notice this. As you're looking out at this large room, this appears to be some kind of like, maybe it was a cafeteria at some point. You see lots of tables that are lined up all around the place. And you see that there are shadows moving along of figures, like moving throughout this space here. And you see that there are ghouls in this space, like the ones you saw before. But they're kind of like lazily moving about the room. You see that a bunch of them are like slumped on top of like furniture or like laying on their backs, like on top of the tables. Like staring up at the ceiling.
Doing their own thing.
Yeah, and a couple of them like kind of look over at you and like burp and like.
This is so weird.
And so this room is full of probably about 20 ghouls that are all like just like zened the hell out. And as you're standing at the very edge of this room, Saya and Kara, you notice there's a small sound that catches your ear. It's like a pfft sound. And that you notice, like coming from the top of the corners of this room, that a fine mist just gets ejected from the corners of this room every, like, and you watch it for a bit. It's like every 5 minutes or so, there's the pfft, and this mist just travels out into this room.
Kara, like, leans over. I think that's, like, funny guess.
Yeah. He just kept his little ghouls drugged the whole time, and that's how he used them.
Yeah, I think they're stoned. That's hilarious.
Quick draw a picture.
Yeah, on the very far side of this room, you can see that there is a stairway that descends down further.
I'll wrap my scarf like tightly around my mouth and nose and everything and cover it as well. Do we want to just run through?
Yeah. Kara's like, I've got resistance to poison. What? I'll be fine.
Same.
I did not. So yeah, I'm going to just put my shirt over my nose like so.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you do so, you can go ahead and roll this constitution check with advantage for everybody who's covering their mouths. And as you're running past, yeah, the ghouls are just like,
ooh. I have the natural 20.
Whoa.
Hell yeah.
I got a 23.
Ooh. That will be a 24.
Yeah, y'all do fine. as you get into the room, there is like sort of a chemical smell to the air that like manages to permeate through. But yeah, and you do feel yourself getting just a little bit more like chill. As you come into this room, a little bit heavy,
a little
bit chill.
This place is so bad.
I like
yeah.
This is the best room we've been in this whole time.
Yeah, and the ghouls, yeah, just like lazily reaching out hands towards you to like try and like swipe at you. As you go, you know, they'll like kind of like,
but they're like, wait, order pizza.
Wait, you don't want to get off the couch.
Oh, I'm so hungry. Hand me my popcorn. No. Okay.
The remote's so far.
Oh, dude. Rude. And so as you continue, you just book it through the space. And you make it to this far set of stairs here. And your, you know, heads begin to, like, clear a little bit. You're like, wow. It was very potent stuff. So you feel like if you spent any time in that room, you probably would have gotten hit by that gas. But as you continue down this stairway here, you see at the bottom of this, there is a set of large double doors.
I check if they're locked.
They're not locked, but as you kind of push against them, you can tell that there is something stacked against the door on the other side, like barricaded
in. I see. Yeah. Well, looks like it's blocked on the other side.
Do we just all run at it at once? She'll, like, elbow it?
Is it wooden?
It is wooden.
Kara pulls out her axe again.
Oh, God. We could also set it on fire.
Oh, yeah, fire's good.
But we're underground.
It is pretty damp here. Damp, lots of stone. You're not in trouble starting a forest fire, if that's what you're worried about.
Well, Firebolt catches things on fire.
I can do that. Pew, pew. You
try.
So I was like, oh, that's usually my thing. Okay, go ahead.
You can do it together.
Teamwork.
Go ahead. Just go ahead.
Just burning hands this shit.
All right, so you're just lighting these doors up?
Yeah.
Okay. And as you do, you know, the wood begins to smoke. And since it is kind of damp, you know, that smell comes off. It's very, like, thick smoke begins to billow off of these doors. But you do see they begin to burn away. And you see that, yeah, a bunch of furniture. It looks like small desks have been, like, piled up behind the door by someone on the other side. So as this begins to, like, burn away and the doors begin to crumble and fall, you see that a very large, long room opens up in front of you. And you see, again, yeah, there are a ton of desks in this area. Lots of, like, circular tables throughout the room. You see that there are chalkboards all along the wall. And you see here that the walls have been painted with, like, pictures of, like, suns and rainbows and, like, all this shit that seems really, like, kiddish and very, like, macabre in the middle of this now dark, damp space. And you see that standing against one of these chalkboards on the far side is a figure. And they seem, they're really far away from you at this point. So they stand maybe about 6.5 feet tall or so and wrapped in these white robes and just writing, filling the chalkboards of this room.
Kara puts away her axe and grabs her sword.
Can I read what it says or on the chalkboards?
Sure. It doesn't say anything. It's celestial letters,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say
just gibberish.
Anything. It's complete gibberish. And you all can begin to, like, move and, like, pile away the desks, and you can step into this room. This room is very long, so probably about 50 feet or so. So this figure is just riding away, and you see that periodically it throws down a piece of chalk that, like, gets to a nub and grabs another piece. There's, like, seems to be a bucket of different rainbow colored chalks at its feet, and it just picks up another one and it'll begin writing over. And you see now too that it's written over words over and over again on this chalk. We're not sure how long this thing has been here doing this,
mm-hmm.
But it's been a bit.
It
doesn't turn or anything as you just enter the room.
I guess I'll say in Celestial, just like, hello, we're friends.
No, we're here to kill it, aren't we?
Are we? She just said that we had to make it go away.
Okay, let's talk to it first.
It's oh, good. It's a
sunshine and rainbow room. I don't want to kill it. The DM has endeared me to this angel thing.
Yeah, and so you just say hello in Celestial.
Yeah, just like, hello, Amalfia sent us.
And the thing, it stops, like, right where it is on the chalk, and you see its, like, back tenses up, and then it lowers the chalk, and then, like, turns around and looks at all of you. And you can see the creature in front of you, again, yeah, so it stands about 6.5 feet tall, so imposing. And this very musculared, completely androgynous creature with this green skin that turns around to look at all of you. And you can see it doesn't have normal pupils. It just has, like, two orbs of light shining from its face. And again, it's wrapped in these white and gold robes. And it's beautiful when you look at it. You've never seen anything that looks quite like this creature. And as it turns, it's just holding this, like, pink piece of chalk in its hands, and it kind of looks around the room like it doesn't quite understand what's happening. I'm sorry. Who sent you?
Amalfia? Do you know her? About this tall old lady? Mm.
She tried to help, and then I got lost. Can you hear them? All the children? How they suffered? This is a terrible place. And it looks at the pink chalk in its hands, and then it just
crushes it, like, in a sudden motion, and just dust falls to the floor.
You got a lot more in that bucket over there, bud. It's okay. Mm-hmm.
This is a terrible place. We'd like to hope you leave it. If you've been lost for so long.
I can't leave. I have to help. Or I'm waiting for him to tell me how to help. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. And it reaches down into the bucket again and takes out, like, a purple piece of chalk.
What is it that you're trying to help?
All the pain in this place. I feel it. All of it. And I don't know how to help. And it begins to write over and over again on the walls.
Kara is gonna turn to you all and ask, so, do we fight it? And she's, like, whispering. I mean, that it seems to have a really noble goal, and I would love to help this individual purge this place with fire. I feel like that would help, but I don't know. What do you all think we should do?
I wish we knew, like, what's connecting it to this place and everything, you know? Like, what created the connection? Is it the brain thing? Is it...
Oh, I think killing the brain will help.
I would love to kill that brain. Personally. I think we made it harder to kill the brain yesterday, but I'm all for trying again.
I like your attitude.
Maybe if we keep talking to the angel, we'll find out. And he might even help us take out the brain. And we won't have to hurt him. Or it.
Yeah, and it is continuing to do its thing right on the chalkboard.
Can we help you with your quest of helping the children? I'm afraid I can't hear them myself, but I'd like to help you. I'd like to be able to help you.
I am not sure if I can help. I used to destroy things. I used to kill things. And I understood why. But then I fell. And I don't know how to help anymore. And it turns around and looks at you, like it's thinking about something, and you see its eyes just flash again with this radiant light. It's like staring into the sun, like, as you look at this thing. Do you understand what it's like to not have purpose? Do you know what that's like?
I do.
I'm waiting to hear what I'm supposed to do. Maybe if I help, maybe if I pray, I will understand what I did wrong, but I don't know. I don't know how to help.
Do I know anything with my history of, like, fallen angels? And is it, like, normal for them to, like, go crazy? Or, like, is this specific to this one? And what do they normally, like, need to do in order to have this happen to them?
Yeah, go ahead and make me a religion check.
This is in my brain, this is becoming very philosophical for Sawyer. So do your roll, but I feel like we could have a real discussion about it.
27.
Okay, so you're not, like, the politics of angels and gods is something, like, mortals can only guess at, right? You know, it's like us trying to contemplate what's going on there in terms of religion on a grand scale. But fallen angels, I mean, that has always been said, like, if an angel defies their god or, you know, their purpose comes to an end, because angels are created with a very specific goal. So you have angels of healing, you have angels of destruction, you have angels of vengeance, and they are created for that purpose. So when that purpose is taken away, you destroy something fundamental about what the core of this creature is. And so it's not a good thing when angels fall. It's usually they did something wrong, or the god didn't need them anymore. They got cast out. You've never met an angel. You're not sure if insanity is normal, or but even you can understand, like,
mm-hmm.
if a whole your whole purpose is taken away, how that might,
yeah,
leave you empty.
Yeah.
Sawyer wants to say, like, quietly to the two of you, obviously, you know, he just said he used to kill people and he knew why. That's probably why he fell. He believed he was helping his god, or whatever he was doing was under the right, I don't know, moral compass or end goal, and that probably wasn't what his real purpose was for, and so he fell. I think we could try to talk to him and tell him that he could help by taking his own life.
Mm.
Oh, shit, that's dark. I was not expecting that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
It might be the most dignified way to go for a fallen angel.
Yeah. This is really sad. I guess it's, you know, do we want to just speak to him and try that route first? Or do we want to, because I just, like, I don't know, maybe it's possible that he did something while under control of this brain thing. I don't know. I just hate this brain. Okay. But, and then the act that he did during that time while he was under its control potentially could have made him fall. I don't know.
That's not a bad idea.
Hey,
Angel! Who's your god? Kara calls out. And she turns to you, and she's like, I don't know, maybe that'll help us figure out its purpose.
Audriel. My name was Audriel. I served him. The Radiant One. I served faithfully for so long. I don't understand what I did wrong.
Hmm.
Maybe we get Audriel to kill the brain.
Do you remember what the purpose of coming to this place was for you originally?
I fell and there was pain. And a woman helped me. But she could not help me. She's dying, and it's my fault. But I cannot go. What if he tells me what to do again? What if he forgives me? What if my purpose becomes clear? I need to wait.
But you could always come back. What if you came with us to our keep, and we could all figure this out together? And the nice lady who's supplying you with her life force can recover.
I do not know if I should leave. What if he can't find me?
I mean, isn't your god all-knowing? Wouldn't he know where you are?
Make a persuasion check for me.
Happily.
That will be... Oh, what is my persuasion? That is not often a skill I use. Okay, that's a 14.
Mm-hmm. And the angel blinks at you. Audriel, you know its name is. And it seems to consider this for a moment. And nothing I have encountered down here has been good or right. This is a vile place.
Yeah,
you are part right. of this vile place.
Oh, yikes.
Why are you down here? You must serve this evil that resides here. And as it seems to consider this, its hand flicks out, and you see a sword of pure light appears in its hand. But it seems to crackle with this black energy that courses through it. And it raises this sword towards you. Answer my question.
Whoa. We're here to help. If we were bad, wouldn't we have done something already? We just came and we started talking.
Lady Amalthea, the one who's kept you here, supplying her own life force for you to survive, sent us here to keep helping you.
I know you are not lying, for I can tell when people lie. However, you might be deceived. by the tricks of the mind that I have encountered in this place.
I mean, we saw. We came in contact with the literal mind.
Perhaps it would be better if I simply destroyed you. And it seems to nod, and like it like turns to the side and whispers something to itself in Celestial, and then it turns its head to its other side and whispers something itself in Celestial.
And it's then talking to the angel and the devil on its own shoulders.
It seems to be, yeah, talking to just... and as this happens, it strikes its sword down on the ground, and you see this pair of beautiful white feathered wings sprout out from the back of this creature. And just the... it seems to grow like a foot in height as it looms up above you. And again, just this pure radiance. Again, that's beautiful and just terrifying as this creature looms ahead over you with this purpose burning in its eyes. And that's where we're going to call it for today.
Well,
an angel battle.
Oh, well, it seemed to found its purpose.
It did say destruction.
It was an angel, Audriel, the angel of death and destruction. Cool.
Cool.
Oh my gosh. Thank you everybody so much for tuning into this episode. I had a lot of fun. This dungeon is so much fun for me. so I hope you all had a great time. And thank you so much. And I have been your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich.
And I have been your human monk, Sonya Noor, played by Nassim.
And I have been your barely sane barbarian, Kara Brynhilda.
And I have been your divine soul sorcerer, Tiefling, who's having the worst two nights of her life.
Welcome to the Venture. We have a great time. Here. But anyway, that was our episode, folks. So, thank you all again, and until next time,
Venture away!
Venture away, everybody. Pineapple.
Everyone, thanks for listening to The Venture Maidens. But before you go, we have one great sponsor. It is D&D Beyond. And to thank them for their sponsorship, I have done them a favor and made a rap by Farah, thanking them for all that they do. What's up? This is Farah. They call me divine, but I'm just a sorceress, though I do look fine. I know it looks easy, but I've got a lot to do, and with D&D Beyond, I've made a great debut. I've got sorcery points, meta magic, and spells, but the site's got it all. There's no parallels. And with all my ally sheets just one click away, sweet sisters hallelujah will be here to stay. Without this great resource, who knows where we'd be, but for now I'm checking out. Fireball level 3. Thank you to anybody who stuck around and suffered through that. And don't forget to check out D&D Beyond so that you can break it down in your games just like MC Farah.